Pastor, thank you so much for having us here. We're excited about the opportunity to be here and be a part of your missions conference. We are sent out of Higher Plain Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Pastor Tom Vineyard. I had the privilege of growing up there in the church, formerly Windsor Hills Baptist Church under Dr. Jim Vineyard. I had the opportunity of attending the Christian school there and going to Bible college there, Oklahoma Baptist College. And that's where I met my wife. It was during my time there in the Christian school that I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior in the fifth grade. I had made a profession of faith when I was young, but I didn't really remember anything about it. My parents had told me about the that happened, but I couldn't remember anything myself about that time. In the fifth grade, I got that settled after a chapel service in school. It was in the sixth grade that I did a research paper in the second semester on the country of Australia. And really, that's where this all started for me. I did that research paper as a young man because crocodiles and snakes and kangaroos and sharks, those are all fun and interesting. And I figured if I had to do a research paper for school, I might as well pick something that's exciting and fun. So I did the country of Australia. And from that point on, anything and everything Australia was of an amazing interest to me. I enjoyed watching the documentary shows that you could get. I enjoyed watching all the different things, learning about the country, about the animal, the wildlife, the people there, and just anything I could. I had an intense interest in the country of Australia. By the time I was in high school, though, Our church every year had missions conference, week-long missions conference. It was during the school year, so the missionaries came over during the day, and they would present their fields and share their burdens for their mission fields all over the world. And anyway, to be honest, I can't remember any missionary necessarily presenting the field of Australia during those years I was there. It's possible that there was, but I can't remember any specific missionary while I was in the Christian school that came over. But you know, as the years progressed and I got into high school, every year around missions conference, I would hear all these different mission fields. I would hear of Mexico and the Philippines and of Africa and all these other places around the world. And my mind always went to the country of Australia. At first, that was just because I always had a great interest in Australia. But the Lord really began to work in my heart and really changed that interest in the country of Australia into a burden for the people of Australia. And by the time I was in high school, I knew what God wanted me to do. I knew He wanted to be a missionary. I knew He wanted me to be a missionary in the country of Australia. And so what a great privilege that was, knowing exactly what God had for me in my life at such a young age, honestly. When I graduated high school, obviously with the Bible college being there, it really wasn't much of a decision of where I was going to go to Bible college. It just made sense that I would go across the parking lot and begin going to Bible college right there at Oklahoma Baptist College. I honestly didn't even really consider any other Bible college. It was right there, my home, my church. And what a privilege, as I look back on that, to have the opportunity to grow up in a church under Dr. Jim Vineyard that was such a missions-minded church, such a wonderful church that had a Christian school to train young people how to be good Christians in their life, and then had a Bible college to continue that education to go into full-time Christian service. What a privilege that was to be able to get all of that training in that one place. And I can tell you, the church has moved from that old property on Northwest 23rd Street, 5517 Northwest 23rd Street. But the vast majority of my childhood, starting from the fourth grade when my family moved there in 1996, all the way through until after college, was spent on that property training and learning how to serve God. And what a privilege that was. We're going to be working with the Heberle family, Brother Jim and Becky Heberle, both graduates of Oklahoma Baptist College. And Brother Heberle is the one that started this ministry, reaching out into the outback regions of Australia. Now, when I say the outback, a lot of people immediately think of the very center, central area of the country. We're not necessarily going all the way into the middle of the country where practically nobody lives. But what we mean by that is the countryside. We're going to be going away from the major cities, away from the coastal areas where the major population centers are, moving away from those areas into the countryside of Australia, into the rural communities. And our goal is to reach those people with the gospel. The purpose of missions is to spread the gospel. Yes, the vast majority of the population live along the coast and in the major cities, but there are people in the rural areas of Australia that have no opportunity to hear the gospel. You go into those towns, they don't have a church. And I'm not just saying they don't have a Bible preaching church. They don't have a church of any kind in their area. They have no opportunity whatsoever to hear the gospel in their area. You go out into these areas and you saw in the video, 22% of the population in 2011 claiming no religion. They estimate now, I believe they're going to be running another census this next year in 2021. They're estimating now that's probably 30 to 35% of the population that claim no religion. People who have no connection whatsoever to any religion of any kind. They've never been to church. They've never read the Bible. They know nothing about what it means to be a Christian. My generation and the generation after me, children that have never had the opportunity to go to Sunday school and hear the Bible stories that I grew up hearing each and every Sunday without fail. No opportunity. Millions of people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Brother Heberle has begun this ministry reaching out into these areas with the effort and the idea of reaching them with the gospel and establishing churches in their area. And the best way I can describe it, it's more of like an itinerant style ministry that he has begun. He's got about three towns. When we were there last year, we were there for 3 weeks. We had the opportunity to visit all three towns that he's established churches in at that time. And at that time, he was visiting those towns once a month, one town every weekend, once a month, having Bible studies and church services on Sunday for the people in those towns. And man, we got there and we got to experience the ministry there. We got to see those people. And we're in one town, Mergen. And we had the privilege of, I had the privilege to preach there in that church and meet the people. And as we were leaving, they expressed their desire to be able to meet more often. You can only imagine the only time you get to have church is once a month when the preacher's in town. That's it. One service, once a month. And they expressed, and they were excited about the opportunity and the prospect of my wife and I and my family coming over there to Australia to help Brother Heverly, because they knew that that meant they would probably get the chance to meet maybe twice a month for church. And they were excited about that. And that really touched our hearts. Man, I grew up in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, soul winning, Saturday bus. I've been in church, been involved in church all my life. That's all I've ever known. It's something that we take for granted all the time. And they just don't have that opportunity. They don't have that privilege because it's just not available to them. So pray for us as we go, as we finish up our support. We're at 51% of our support. We're praying that the Lord will allow us to be fully supported before the end of next year. And we'd love to be able to head for the field before the end of next year and begin working with the Heverlys with the objective of reaching as many of these towns with the gospel. We want to see new towns. We want to go into new towns and be able to establish new churches in those areas. But also we want to be able to work with the already established churches in some of those towns and help them begin to grow and meet on a more regular basis and grow this ministry and continue reaching those people with the gospel. Pray for us about that. We're so excited about what God has called us into and going to the country of Australia. Like I said, since high school, I know this is what I've known God's wanted us to do. And it's just so exciting to know that we're getting just that much closer. We're ready to go. We're ready to get over there and share the gospel with those people in the outback of Australia. So please pray for us. Come back by the table there. Grab a prayer card to remember us. Ask any questions you may have. I'd love to try to answer any questions that you have about the country of Australia. If you would now, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to John chapter 2 this evening. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we'll read the first 11 verses there this evening. John chapter 2, starting there in verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 11. Familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar account here during the life of Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry. John chapter 2, we'll start reading there in verse number 1, read down to verse number 11. The Bible says there, "On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse number 11, This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us, Lord, and the opportunity that we have to be in church, Lord. We thank You for the freedom that You've given us to freely worship in Your house each and every week. Lord, I pray You bless the message this evening. Lord, I pray You fill me with Your Spirit. Give me the words to say that we may be a blessing to those in attendance this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, this is a familiar account given here in John chapter 2. Verse number 11 says, This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. This is one of the first recorded miracles of Jesus' earthly ministry. This is the beginning of the next 3.5 years of great ministry that Jesus performs throughout the land of Israel. And we have this kind of starting point, if you will, for His ministry in this first recorded miracle that Jesus performed here in Cana of Galilee, the wedding there in Cana of Galilee. And as we think about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, obviously one of the first things we think about are the miracles that He performed. And we can read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we can read of all the examples and all the different miracles that Jesus performed. We can read of all the many thousands of people that He healed. of deadly diseases. We can heal. We can read of how he healed the lame and the blind and the mute and the deaf. We can read how he raised the dead back to life. We can read of how he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. We read of how he walked on the water. We read of how he fed the 5,000. And all these many examples of the miracles that Jesus performed. And in fact, later on in the book of John, the Apostle John says that many more things that Jesus, there's so many that he performed that they couldn't even be written down for us. So many things that Jesus did. And so many miracles that he performed throughout his earthly ministry. And we come here to John chapter 2. We read these first 11 verses here, this account of the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And I don't know about you, but something seems a little different about this miracle. Something seems a little unique about this miracle. Nobody was healed of any deadly disease. Nobody was raised from the dead. It didn't seem like anybody's life was saved from dire straits. In fact, it would almost seem, well, what was the importance of this miracle? What was the significance of this miracle? We read of all these miracles, and it's usually very obvious to us that someone's life was drastically changed when Jesus performed a miracle. And we come here to John chapter 2, and we read this account of the wedding in Cana of Galilee, how Jesus turned the water into wine. And, you know, it'd be easy for us to kind of just look over this and say, well, I'm not really sure what the importance of that was. I'm not really sure what the big deal was. Sure, Jesus performed a miracle, but man, it really doesn't seem to compare to calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee or raising Lazarus from the dead. I mean, this really doesn't quite seem to compare. And it'd be easy for us to overlook what I think is a very important truth that we can learn from this passage of Scripture. You see, this miracle is different than many of Jesus' miracles. We see here in this chapter that there are a group of servants that day at this wedding feast that were available to be used of Jesus. And they got to partake and participate in the performing of this miracle. Now, it was through the power of Jesus Christ and only through His power that the miracle was performed. But we see these servants that helped and assisted Jesus in performing the miracle that day. You see, as we read through the accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry and the miracles He performed, so many times it's directly through the words that He spoke, like "peace be still," or through His touch that the miracle was performed. Yet we see here that there was a group of servants that Jesus used that day to help and assist Him in performing the miracle. And it's those servants that I want to look at this evening. Those servants who were there ready to be used by God that day that I want to look at. Look with me in verse number 5. The Bible says there, His mother, Jesus' mother, His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Firstly, and very simply, I'd like to say that the servants there were willing to serve. They were willing to serve. Obviously, we have here this wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Jesus, His mother, and His disciples are invited guests to this wedding feast, and they're there enjoying and partaking in this time of celebration there. And we, for some reason that we don't know, they have a problem. They've run out of wine, and this is something that wouldn't have been a good thing. And there's these servants that were there. These servants were not Jesus' servants. This was the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's very possible these servants didn't even know, had never met Jesus before. Yet we see here that Mary approaches these servants, and look what she says. She says, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Mary had already approached Jesus and told Him of the problem. And we see there in verse number 4, His response, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Mary turns around and says to the servants, whatever He tells you to do, do it. The servants were willing to serve because when the command came, they were there ready to hear that command. These servants obviously had a problem on their hand. It was their responsibility to make sure everything was going smoothly. It was their responsibility to make sure the guests were all cared for. It was their responsibility that everything was going the way it was supposed to go and everything was running smoothly. And obviously we see here that that is not the case. They found themselves with a major problem on their hand, and yet they were willing to take enough time to stop and listen to what this man Jesus had to say. We see here that they were willing to serve Jesus that day. They could have very easily said, well, I don't really know what Jesus can do for us. This is the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. They hadn't heard of all the many things that were going to happen throughout the next 3.5 years. They hadn't happened yet. They hadn't heard of all the many miracles that Jesus was going to perform. His fame hadn't spread throughout the land yet. He was, if you will, an unknown at this time. And yet we see here that their willingness was to hear what he had to say. They took the time out of their, I'm sure, busy and frenzied time to stop and listen to Jesus. You know, as Christians, we're to be servants of Jesus Christ. That is our calling. That is our responsibility as Christians. If we're saved, it is our job, it is our responsibility to be servants of Jesus Christ. And He wants some servants who are willing to serve. You know, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 8, I delight to do Thy will. Delight. I grew up in church. I can tell you right now that that is not what I could say all my life. There are times where I was doing things that you could say were serving Jesus. Whether it was in Sunday school or on the bus route or in soul winning or whatever it was. Going out on the teen bus on soul winning on Thursday night. Whatever. There are times in my life where I couldn't say, I delight to do Thy will. I was serving God. But I wasn't a willing servant. I was doing it. Why? Well, that's always, always done. I've always gone to church on Sunday morning. I've always gone to church on Sunday night. I don't know what else to do on Sunday. What else am I going to do on Sunday? That's what we do. That's what we always do. But my delight wasn't always there. My joy and happiness wasn't always there. I was doing those things. Why? Because that's what was expected of me. It was my duty as a son of my parents. That was my duty. I was just doing what was expected of me. And that's just what I did. But my delight wasn't truly there. In those moments in my life, I couldn't say that I delight to do Thy will. I wasn't a willing servant. God wants some servants who are willing to serve. Willing to give themselves in service for Him. Not just doing it because that's what's expected, but doing that out of love for what He's done for us and what He sacrificed for us. And man, we have a burning desire in our heart to serve Him. Willing service. But not only that, look with me in verse number 6. We'll see something else. The Bible says, and there are set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Not only were the servants willing to serve that day, but they were prepared to serve. They were prepared to serve. When Jesus gave the command, they were prepared to do what Jesus commanded them to do. And quickly this evening, as Christians, we need to be prepared to serve. You know, it's one thing to come down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is You want me to do. Lord, I'm willing to serve You. Lord, I want to be Your servant. And then we go back to our pew, we go back to our house, we go back about our lives, and we do nothing to prepare ourselves to serve the Lord. We say we're willing to serve, but what are we doing right now to prepare for service? You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to prepare ourselves spiritually to serve the Lord. What is the purpose of our service? What is the main goal of our service? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can't preach the gospel if we don't know the gospel. How many times have we studied the Word of God? Do we know what we believe and why we believe it? Can we approach someone that we've never met and share the gospel with them and they leave that day? Maybe they don't accept what you've given them, but they leave knowing that person truly believes what they say and they know what they're talking about. I grew up in a Christian school. I had friends and I was never the sports guy. I'm not very athletic. My older brother, Zach, got all the athleticism in the family. I didn't get any of it. I participated in sports, but that was about it. I didn't excel in sports. I enjoyed my school. I enjoyed my books and school. I did good in school. I did well in school. So that's what I enjoyed. So sports wasn't my thing, but there are several guys in my class. That's what they love. They love football. They love sports. And so they would talk, obviously, about sports. And, you know, just, you know, being a normal kid, you want to fit in and you want to join the crowd and you want to join the group and participate in the conversation, which is something I'm not good at, by the way. And I can remember times where they'd be talking about something and maybe you'd be talking about the sports games that happened over the weekend or something like that. And I would listen and then I would try to say something. They'd all stop. They'd look. They'd look back away and they would just keep on talking. They knew, obviously, by what I said and what they knew of me, I didn't know what I was talking about. So guess what? They ignored it. Is that what happens when we try to share the gospel with others? Do we begin to share, attempt to share the gospel, and that person leaves? I don't even know if they really know what they're talking about. That doesn't really seem like they truly believe what they were saying. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect and you're going to lay it out just perfect and everything, but do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Can you share the gospel with someone? Can you show them what Jesus Christ did for them? Study to show thyself approved unto God. But not only preparing ourselves spiritually for service, by studying the Word of God, by growing as Christians and getting a better and closer relationship with God, but if you will, we need to prepare ourselves physically to serve the Lord. And I'll give you an example from my childhood once again of what I mean by this. My natural personality as a young man, very quiet, introvert, keep to myself, not good at talking to people, not good at talking in front of people, not good at carrying on conversations in a group setting. I didn't excel at that. I excelled at reading my books or staying to myself. I was kind of a individual loner kind of guy. That's my personality. And you know, I did that research paper in sixth grade, and man, I really enjoyed Australia. And I got excited about the country of Australia, and man, that was great. And then, like I said, by the time I got into high school, God had called me to be a missionary to Australia. And honestly, I'll tell you the truth right now, my first reaction was, yes! I was excited. I get to go to Australia, this country that I've learned about and I've read about and I've watched these shows and videos. And man, this is great. I will get to go to and live in the country of Australia. Then, you know, I kind of came back to earth and began to think about what it is a missionary actually does. They go and they talk to strangers and they carry on conversations with people they don't know and stand up in front of people and speak. And I began to wonder, like, how in the world am I supposed to do that? It wasn't quite as exciting then. I knew that's what God wanted me to do, though. But you know what? Through life and through that opportunity of going to Christian school, Bible college, and different purposes and opportunities to serve, God prepared me to serve Him. God began to work in my life. You know, we sing that song as kids. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know, I can look back and, you know, I still have so much to learn and so much more to figure out in life. But I can look back at the opportunities that God put in my life that were meant for one specific purpose. To better prepare me to serve Him on the mission field. I had the opportunity at youth conferences to participate in the Preacher Boys contest. 5-minute messages. 5 minutes. I remember as a junior hire, I was terrified. There's no way I can speak for 5 minutes in front of just a few people in a small classroom. Terrified. And then I happened to win in high school one year. Second place, I think it was. And if you won first and second place in the Preacher Boys contest, you got the immense privilege to stand up in front of the entire youth conference. At that time, I don't know, 500, 600, 700 teenagers. And preach your 5-minute message. Once again, terrified. I mean, if you saw me up on that platform sitting, waiting for my turn to go, you would have thought I was about to die. Sweating, pale, terrified, shaking. I had no clue what I was doing. But you know, God began to work in my life. And those opportunities, it was good for me. You know, our church purchased a camp property not far from Oklahoma City, about an hour and a half or so from the city. And we got that camp property, and Dr. Vineyard wanted to start a camp out there. And we started Windsor in the Wilds. And I got to, during my high school, my four high school years, I got to serve on staff during the summer for 4 years during high school out at that church camp. And man, I was excited about that. Go out there, do some mowing and some weed eating, cleaning the cabins, getting everything ready to go, taking out the trash, you know, doing all those things that staff people do out at camp. And I got to do plenty of that for sure. But the first week of camp was approaching, and the camp director came up to me and asked me to do something that I was not expecting. He asked me to be the song leader for camp. If any of you have ever gone to junior camp or teen camp, you know that as the song leader, you don't just sing the hymns that we sing in church. You know, we sing some of those songs, but we usually start off with the goofy songs that have all kinds of hand motions and doing all kinds of goofy things. And that was that's what he wanted me to do. I was not too excited about that. I was not expecting that. But you know what? I did that. Was it out of my comfort zone? Absolutely. Was I excited about getting up in front of and making a fool of myself in front of my peers during teen camp? No, I was not. But I was given the opportunity. The Lord put an opportunity in my life. And because of that opportunity, and because I took advantage of that opportunity, He was able to work in my life. So many times as Christians, we're willing to serve. And Lord, I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. Lord, I want to be a willing servant. I want to work and for you. I want to get the gospel out. And then when an opportunity to serve comes our path, well, that's just not my personality. Well, I don't think I'd be very good in that area. I wouldn't be able to work with kids, or I'm not good in this area. Or surely there's someone else that would do a better job. And you know what? There probably is someone else that would do a better job. But you know, God is providing you with an opportunity. And He maybe just wants you to serve in that ministry for a few years, for temporarily, so He can work in your life. So He can prepare you to serve Him in another area. You see, when God calls us to do something, He's going to give us the strength that we need and the skills that we need to perform what He's called us to do. When God called me to be a missionary, I was clueless. No way. Absolutely not. I don't think I can do that. But allowing God to work in my life. And if we will allow God to work in our life, to mold and make us into that person that He can use, He'll do it. But are we taking advantage of those opportunities? Are we saying yes? Or are we, no? That's not me. Well, that's a little bit out of my comfort zone. I prefer to kind of stay right here. Are we denying the Lord an opportunity to work in our lives? You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Later on in that chapter, it talks about the vessels in the master's house, the vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor, and how the vessels unto honor are meet for the master's use, ready to be used by the master. But the vessels unto dishonor just have to be set aside. They cannot be used because they're not ready. They're not prepared. They didn't allow themselves to be molded into the vessel that could be used by God. We see here that the servants were prepared to serve. Quickly this evening, look with me. And verse number 7, we'll see the third thing. Verse number 7, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Very simply, we see that the servants were willing to serve. We see that the servants were prepared to serve. But thirdly, we see that they were obedient in their service. They were obedient. Simple. The Bible says that Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they said, Jesus, we don't need any water. They said, Jesus, I don't really think we have enough time to go to the well and draw the water and fill all these pots up with water. I just don't think that's a good investment of our time. Maybe we should go this way, or maybe we should go that way. No, the Bible says, and they filled them up to the brim. No hesitation, no question, no concern. Jesus said it and they did it. They were obedient in their service for Jesus Christ. You know, I think of Joshua and the children of Israel. As they have crossed the river Jordan, they're standing before the city of Jericho. You see, they had just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And now they're standing before Jericho, and God gives them command. God tells Joshua, to go march around the wall. You know the story, and I won't take time to go all the way through it, but I have to think that not very many, there were probably several people there that didn't understand why it was they were doing what they were doing. Why they were marching around that wall so many times. But we see that the children of Israel obeyed. And because of their obedience, God worked a great miracle on their behalf. We see what He did for them. And as Christians, we need to be obedient. Once again, it's one thing to say, Lord, I'm willing to serve. It's another thing to obey when He calls on us to serve. Are we being obedient? Are we doing what Jesus is commanding us to do? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. So many times we go throughout life and we may not understand what God's doing in our life. We may not understand why God allows certain things to happen in life. And it doesn't make sense to us. But we just need to trust in God and trust and obey, for there's no other way. We just need to do what He's commanded us to do. Follow Him and know that He is on the throne and He knows what's best in life. And if we'll just follow Him, the blessings will come. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The blessings come to those that obey the will of God. We see here that the servants were willing to serve. They were prepared to serve. They were obedient in their service. Look with me again in verse number 7. We'll see something else. The fourth thing. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them. The Bible says that they filled them up to the brim. We see here that the servants were wholehearted and complete in their service for Jesus Christ. They gave everything they could in the task that Jesus gave them that day. Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. The Bible says specifically, and they filled them up to the brim. They did everything they could in their service for Jesus that day. It would have been easy for them to say, well, maybe it's a good idea. Start to begin to reason in amongst themselves. Maybe it's a good idea for us to have a backup supply of water. And yeah, we'll devote a certain amount of time to this and we'll go to the well and we'll fill these water pots up. But maybe we'll just fill them halfway or three quarters of the way. That'll be enough. Surely that's good enough. No, that's not what they did. The Bible says that they filled them up to the brim. They completed the task. They were wholehearted in their service for Jesus Christ. And as Christians, that's what we need to be. This goes back to the very first point in our willingness to serve. Can we say in our heart that we delight to do His will? Are we wholehearted in our service for Jesus Christ? Are we giving Him everything in our service for Jesus Christ? I have to say that I feel so many times as Christians, our service isn't wholehearted service. We find ourselves, like I said earlier, doing those things that we've always done. Well, I'm in church on Sunday morning. I'm in church on Sunday night. And I go to church on Wednesday night. I participate in the bus ministry a little bit. Or I do this, I do that. I give my offerings and I do all these things. Surely what I'm doing is enough. And I have to say, if that's our mentality, if we think what we're doing is enough, we're not giving our whole heart. We can always do more. We can always do more in our service for Jesus Christ. We can always serve and give Him more. We see here that they were wholehearted and complete in their service for Jesus that day. Now look with me, and if you would, in verse number 8, the Bible says there, verse number 8, and He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Here lastly, we see the servants' faithful service. Their faithful service. In this account of this miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, we have two commands that Jesus gives. The first command, fill the water pots with water. The second command, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. If we compare those two commands, and me personally, the first command, that's the easier command. Sure, it takes a lot of effort and time to go to the well and draw the water and bring it in and fill those pots up. But that was the easier command because now Jesus is telling those servants to do something that I'm sure they weren't expecting. Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. Who's the governor of the feast? Most important man at the gathering, more than likely. We see here that he is now commanding to take it to the governor of the feast. Maybe even their master. And Jesus says, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And we see their faithfulness to serve even when the task was difficult. What does the Bible say? Very simply, and they bear it. Once again, we get no sense of hesitation on the part of the servants. Jesus said it, and they obeyed. We see their faithfulness to serve even when the task was difficult. We see their willingness to serve. They were prepared to serve. They were obedient and wholehearted and faithful in their service for Jesus Christ. Now as we close it up and we bring this to a head here, let's look in verse number 9. The Bible says there, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't take part in what was going on behind the scenes. He had no clue what was going on. All he knew is he just received the best cup that he had ever had. He received something and he was pretty excited about it. He was pretty excited. He called the bridegroom to him. The Bible says there, he knew not whence it was. What does the Bible say after that? It says, but the servants which drew the water knew. At the beginning, I said, at the outset, it may not be entirely clear whose life was drastically changed in the performing of the miracle. We see here, the Bible says, but the servants which drew the water knew. What do they know? They knew that they ran out of wine. They knew that this man named Jesus, that maybe they had just met for the first time, said, fill the water pots with water. They knew that when they went out to the well, they drew out water. They knew that as they took it back inside and they poured it into the pot, that it was water. They knew that as they filled all of those pots with water, that it was water. They knew that when they dipped the cup into the pot, they pulled out water. They knew that as they took it to the governor of the feast, that it was water. But they also knew that when the governor of the feast received that cup, it was no longer water. Who received the blessing of the miracle that day? Whose life was drastically changed that day? Was it the governor of the feast who got to enjoy the cup of wine that he was received that day? Was it the wedding feast that got to enjoy the benefits of that miracle that day? Or was it the servants who saw Jesus work a miracle on their behalf? I would say it was the servants that received the blessing that day. I would say it was the servants whose lives were drastically changed that day when Jesus worked in their life. Why? Because they were willing to serve. They were prepared to serve. They were obedient. They were wholehearted. And they were faithful to serve that day. And I can imagine over the next 3.5 years, as Jesus began to travel the countryside and travel throughout the nation of Israel, and they began to hear of all the stories and all the things that was going on and all the miracles that Jesus was performing, and how they would hear about how he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and how he raised Lazarus from the dead, and how he was healing thousands of people of all these different diseases. And they heard all of these tremendous things that Jesus was doing, that they got to sit back and tell their own story. And they got to say, way back when, at the very beginning, when no one knew who Jesus was, we got to have just a small part in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were willing to serve. They were available that day. One day in their life, because they were available for Jesus, their life changed. How is our service for Jesus today? If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He's given us that free gift of salvation, we know in our hearts, 100% sure, that when we die, we're going to heaven. But what are we doing for our Savior today? Are we willing to serve? Are we preparing to serve? All of us, not just the young people, all of us, we need to each and every day be preparing ourselves to serve the Lord the next day. We need to be preparing ourselves each and every day to better serve our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we being obedient? Maybe God is working in your heart and He is directing you into a certain ministry. Maybe He wants you to serve in a specific ministry here at the church, and maybe you've been a little hesitant because maybe it is out of your comfort zone. Maybe you don't think you'd do very well in that ministry. Don't let that stop you. Take advantage of the opportunity that God has given you and just obey. Serve Him and let Him work in your life. Let Him change your personality. Surely God can do that. He can work in our lives and He can mold us and make us into servants for Him. Are we willing to serve? Are we prepared to serve? Are we being obedient? Are we wholehearted? Are we wholehearted? Have we fallen into a rut? Are we just doing those things that we've always done? Just, well, this is just what I'm going to do. This is the way I've always done it, and I'm just going to keep on doing it. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to do no more. I'm not going to do no less. I'm just going to keep on doing exactly what I've been doing. That's not wholehearted service for Jesus. Are we being faithful? Don't quit. Don't give up. You see, if the servants, if they had obeyed Jesus in the first command and fill the water pots with water, and then decided that the second command, to draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, well, that's too difficult. I don't think I can do that. And they didn't obey that command. We wouldn't know. We probably wouldn't ever heard of them that day. They would have denied an opportunity to see God work in their life because they weren't faithful. But we see that they did. They did serve Jesus that day, and they were faithful in their service to Jesus Christ. How is our service? The Bible says there in verse number 11, this beginning of miracles to Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. The disciples were there. They were present. Jesus didn't use His disciples. He used these servants. And through their faithfulness to serve that day, they strengthened the faith of Jesus' disciples. Because of their willingness to serve, they got to have and partake in a small part of Jesus' ministry. They saw Jesus work a miracle on their behalf. As Christians, let's see God work miracles on our behalf. Because we're willing. Because we're prepared. Because we're obedient. Because we're wholehearted. Because we're faithful in our service for Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us, Lord, and the opportunity that we've had to be in church. Lord, I pray You bless now the message. Bless what's been said. Lord, help us to examine ourselves and our service for You. Lord, help us to be willing servants. Lord, if there's anybody here that maybe they haven't yielded themselves to Your service, Lord, that they would take care of that tonight. That they'd be willing to serve. Lord, maybe there's some here that need to better prepare themselves for service. Maybe there's some here that need to just simply obey. You're working in their heart right now, and they just need to obey. Maybe there are some here that have just kind of lost the fire in their life, and they're serving in whatever capacity they may be, but maybe they've lost that fire, and they're not serving with their whole heart anymore. Lord, I pray that You would rekindle that fire in their heart and rekindle that love and desire to serve You each and every day, Lord. I pray that maybe there's some here that just need to remain faithful. Remain faithful to You each and every day. Determine in our hearts that we're not going to quit in our service for You. The Lord bless what's been said. In Jesus' name we pray.
That's good. Look up here, if you would, please, before we have the invitation. So I like what he said there about God using things in our lives to prepare us in service. So maybe next time when the phone rings at the house and you see the ID, the caller ID says Faith Baptist, or it says Alan Miller, where it says, make all. And they're calling to ask you to do something. Consider helping here or there. You know, maybe it's not from them. Maybe there's somebody beyond them trying to say, hey, I want you to come out of your comfort zone and participate in something that you don't think you can do. So next time that phone call comes, don't just say, no, I don't think I'll help. I don't think I'll participate. Stop and consider. Is that God trying to put something in your life to prepare you for a different type of service, a specific service? We've heard a lot today about serving. Brother Shipman's Sunday school lesson had something in there about being servants, the type of people God is looking for. The message we heard tonight. The truth of the matter is, the Lord Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant. It's not the boss. It's the one who knows how to obey and just serve faithfully. Thank you, Brother Bruner. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. If you're not saved, there's no better time to get saved than right now. And if God spoke to your heart tonight, turn your chair into an altar. Come and stand around the front up here. Kneel on this terraflex. If God spoke to you tonight about being the kind of servant that was talked about in this passage of Scripture, and so truthfully, He's right. They got the biggest blessing. They were the beneficiaries of the biggest blessing because they were used in the miracle. Father, thank you for the message. Challenge our hearts. Lord, thank you for the times in life when you have pushed us out of our comfort zone because you are attempting to prepare us for some work in the vineyard. Help us remember the words of the song tonight. Push away from the table. Look out through the window pane. Lord, the fields are ripe already to harvest. There's an opportunity to serve here faithfully. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts in these days about being wholehearted and faithful and obedient and prepared and willing to serve you. And we'll thank you for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist begins the song of invitation. You let the Lord speak to your heart tonight as you obey Him at this time. Mind the Lord, and everything will be exactly what God wants it to be tonight. You obey Him tonight. Step out, turn your chair into an altar, whatever. And if God hasn't spoken to your heart, then maybe ask Him, why not? Why haven't you, Lord, moved on my heart sometime in preaching services? Because we come to hear God's voice to us. Good message tonight. Good message in Sunday school this morning. All the type of people that God is looking for. May God help us tonight. Examine our service for Him. Are we filling it up to the brim? Or are we just eking by? God help us. Father, I'm thankful today for the messages. And Lord, I pray as we consider specifically the need to support these families and the others that are coming, I pray that you'll help us to be willing and obedient and faithful and prepared in that area. of opportunity to serve you, the opportunity to serve you in giving. So speak to our hearts about what you'd have us do for this coming year concerning missions. May we first give ourselves to you and then be obedient as far as the specifics go that you want from us. And I know that we'll enjoy the blessing. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.